Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting RadioLeMans.com.
The hourly updates on Radio Le Mans, brought to you by Audi Ultra, lightweight technology.
Just on 7:30 here in Central Europe. Had to check the watch there because time doesn't have the same kind of meaning when you're at Le Mans. Sometimes it's very fast, sometimes it's very slow. It feels like we've only just started 5 minutes ago, and here we are already at 7:30 in the evening. Front of the field is looking very interesting indeed. Last lap for Brendan Hartley, 3:22.2, 3:19.9. For Ben Treluer, the 7 car, now the major challenger from Audi to the 17 Porsche that leads. Philippe Albuquerque, who has done that pit stop, and he has now completed 5 pit stops, as has Ben Treluer. But don't forget, there was one out of sequence there when Marcel Fesler had a puncture and had to come in after just a couple of laps on the circuit. 17, 7, 9, 18 just into the pits for his stop on this cycle, which will that's not on schedule, as Paul just said to me, so we'll let our pit lane reporters find out that one when we get this done. Earl Bamber in fifth position in the 19 Porsche, then the two Toyotas, 1 and 2, Davidson and Sarrazin, 6th and 7th, just about still holding on to the end of the lead lap. Yes, they are. In P2, KCMG just out of the pits, and Nico Lapierre has been super glued into the seat of that car as he continues. Luca Badi still at the wheel of the Orica number 46 in second, and third Gary Hirsch in the 41 Gibson. It's the Greaves car in Pro, this fabulous GT battle that we've been watching. Owen Mildenhall's just told me that Tommy Milner's gone out of the pits having fuel only, and now it's just 2.3 seconds ahead of Fernando Reis. Actually, Fernando, I think, has probably gone through there. I'll have to see them as they come through the next timing area and confirm that to you. That might well be 99 back in the lead of that, from 64 in second, and Darren Turner back into third. Victor Scheitar doing a decent job, and in fact, has just put the car's fastest lap in last time around. He's the leader in AM, the fourth place GT car, 358.4. For him last time around. Greaves car just taking a wild ride over the gravel trap and barely missing the tyres on driver's rights for Gary Hirsch as he's trying to chase down Ludo Bardi. In second place in AM is Matthias Lauda in the 98 Aston Martin that he shares with Pedro Lamy and Paul Della Lana. And in third place, just going back out the pits on a double stint as well, Ben Keating in the 53 SRT Viper. That's how it stands with 19 hours and 25 minutes to go here at Le Mans.
Audi, Vorsprung durch Technik.
Right, let's head down into the pit lane. An unexpected and at the moment unexplained stop for the Porsche of Mark Lieb. Gentlemen, can somebody shed some light?
Hello.
Hello there.
You are being a bit of a Dalek at the moment. You just might just have to move your position away from whoever's RF is bleeding all over our radio.
How's that?
No, that's all good.
It's still not any better. Are you on the pit wall or on the pit lane side?
I'm on the wall, actually. I was on the wall when I left.
Yeah, you might need not to be.
Right.
I'll come back to you in a second, Nick, if you don't mind, because that is mildly irritating. Not you, of course, just the interference. Paul?
Yes, just to pick up on the Mark Lieb pit stop, because it was a 13-lap stint, and we have seen 14 from Porsche. Although, to be fair to Mark, I may have overreacted. He's done a 16 whilst the safety car was out, and he's done a 15 whilst the safety car is out. But he's never done had the opportunity when the safety car hasn't been out. When it was either the first stint, and then he had a 13 lap stint in the middle. So maybe 13 laps is as far as that Porsche is willing to go in order to try and preserve its tyres.
Let's see if we can give Nick Damon another go down in there, who was watching that Porsche.
Hello.
Stop. Nick, go ahead.
No, it should be equally less Dalek-y.
Use the force, Nick.
That's not Daleks. It's an ex-standard stop there. Came in, picked up a few off. We were frightened by Paul saying it was out of sequence. I thought, oh, something's going to happen. Is he got the dolly jacked? But he just took fuel and went away. And Davison came down the one car as well and took on a standard stop too. And Steve Owen has probably just watched the number seven car.
The number seven Audi was a very slick stop, just fuel, no tyres. They bought out the new tyres, but they put them back in the garage and she's on her way again.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Shea, you've been watching the progression of Brendan Hartley, who had issues with his vision earlier on, but seems to, at least down the straight bits, have no issues with speed.
It's not that he needed glasses, it was that his windshield was skewed by some oil, and those issues have clearly been cleared up, I think it's fair to say, pun intended. Purple in Sector 2 the last time around. His lap time was a 3:19.5, which was 2 seconds clear of the Audi trying to chase him down of Philippe Albuquerque. So he's got the pace back. He can see where he's going. Minor details that really help out. And Brendan out running around.
Well, maybe the answer is that he just couldn't see his braking point, and so that's why he was quickest down the straight, because he braked a little bit later.
Would I've got round that?
I mean, because he
had. Problem is, he can't repeat it because he doesn't know where he braked.
No, exactly. The problem is, or the feature is that he's not actually been into the pit since he had those visibility problems. He's been driving through the problem, or else able to wash the windscreen clean. He's not been into the pits and had the problem fixed. He's currently on his 13th lap, so we'll throw that one open. That car has yet... Timo Bernhard did one 13-lap stint, so maybe we'll get a 13 from Brendan on this one. He may be in at the end of the lap that he's on.
A little moment for Mark Leib there as he came up behind the 77. Patrick Dempsey-driven AM Porsche, sitting in sixth position in class at the moment. Just got up to him a little quicker than perhaps he might have anticipated and had to take evasive action and not take the chicane, as in from the lead comes Brendan Hartley. That's down at your end of things, Nick Dermot.
It is. Am I Darlicking?
Give it a go.
Yes, it comes in and unsurprisingly the tear off coming off the front of the car. You can now see where it's going as a Ferrari blast past out the 83 car. The driver changed for that one in the AM class. This again is an absolute standard stop. They didn't bother cleaning the windscreen, they just tore the tear off, but hardly out for another 14 or 13 lap stint. I'm sure Paul can tell you what it'll be.
It was a 13 lap stint, and all being well with the world, it'll be another 13 lap stint now. And he's got out of the pits just before Philippe Albuquerque goes through. It's going to be mighty close actually as they come out of the pits, and we may have to rely on TV pictures, John, to say whether or not Albuquerque got through ahead.
There's two Audis together again because Degrassi is trying to get his lap back again, but I have a strong suspicion that the Porsche, as the traffic is horrendous in the Forest Esser shit. Did you see the Porsche get out in front of them? Because I did not.
Nor did I, but what I did notice was the pit crew immediately ahead of the Porsche during that stop, which would be for the 72, the AM leader, getting ready for a stop as well, so that's something to keep an eye on. But no, I didn't see the Porsche come out ahead. The 9 continues to lead to Philippe Albuquerque, but we haven't seen any change on the timing screen, so it is still listed as Brendan Hartley. But we do have a Toyota in the mix now as the number 2 of Stefan Sarrazin, looking to get his lap back as well.
Well, he is actually battling for 7th position with Luca Degrassi, who are behind the new leader. Audi leads Le Mans again. It's the 9 car of Felipe Albuquerque. The battle at the moment is between Toyota and Audi. Perhaps not one that we were expecting, as Degrassi is fighting off Stefan Sarrazin. And Sarrazin looking extremely quick for the first part of the Mulsanne strip, but now there's GT cars between them, and all of a sudden Degrassi takes a little bit of a breather and can set off and try and get in the slipstream of the new leader. What he wants to do is get back ahead of him.
He's not actually in the lead, John. It's still Brendan Hartley who leads the race. We've just got a brief look
on
the screen.
He's just gone through Arnage now.
Mulsanne corner.
At Mulsanne corner, excuse me.
Sector 2 ends at Mulsanne corner. So there's not a lot in it, less than 10 seconds by my estimation. And then in third place, there's probably about 30 seconds back to Ben Treluway in the third placed Audi. So 17.9 and 7, probably all pretty much strung out along the Mulsanne straight. And then we get the number 18 Porsche there in fourth place. But a great battle, as you were describing, for sixth place, sixth, seventh and eighth places, isn't it? Between Anthony Davidson in the one Toyota, Lucas Degrassi in the eight Audi, and Stefan Sarrazin in the two Toyota.
So, well done to the Porsche pit crew, who turned around Brendan Hartley in 51 seconds. And that effectively kept him in the lead of the race.
It did. He maintained no tires, just fuel, stays in the car, which means that next time in the pits, we should see Mark Webber getting behind the wheel of that car, if I'm correct, Paul.
And Porsche doing how many stints on their tyres? And Audi doing how many stints on their tyres?
Porsche doing triple stints on their tyres.
Wow.
And so, in fact, Brendan Hartley is only in his... just beginning his third stint now, isn't he? So he's had his second stint, he's just beginning his third stint. Audi, on the other hand, have been quadruple stinting the tyres, except that when Andre Lotterer was about to quadruple stint his tyres, he had a puncture, so the fourth stint was abbreviated.
What happens in that situation, Paul? Is that just bad luck? You don't get another tyre or another set of tyres for a puncture?
You have four joker tyres across the whole week. So what I don't know is how many of the joker tyres have been used in the first part of the week. What you're not allowed to do is to save any of your qualifying tyres for the
seven
race.
Seven sets thereof.
Seven sets for the qualifying, 12 sets for the race, and then there's four jokers which you can use to replace punctures. But in that case, on Ben Treluway's stop, they actually changed all four wheels and sent him on his way again. So. I think if Audi can quadruple stint, then they're not going to be short of tyres at all. And I should just say as well, the restriction is only on slick tyres, it is not on wet weather tyres. So if we have any rain at all, then those tyres don't count.
Yes, and effectively you're saving your tyres. And it's only for LMP1 as well, by the way.
The restriction of 12 is only for LMP1, that's right. It's 16 sets if you're in... P2 or either of the GT classes.
Owen Mildenhall has news from the pit lane.
Yeah, John, basically the 96 Aston that was involved in that heavy accident, the Ford chicane, has been in the pits for a long time. The Aston boys have done an amazing job. They just got the tracking rope around the car, and looks like it's going to be leaving very shortly.
It's Roald Gotha who brought that car in many minutes ago. We have got two official retirements, and they are both Porsches. And for those of you who had that, if anybody had 92 in the office sweep to be the official first retirement, I will be very surprised. That was the Works Porsche that went out with the very nasty looking fire with Patrick Peely on board. And then Christian Reid retiring the 88 Proton Porsche with a very nasty looking fire. But Christian Reid was all right on that one. Those two are the two official retirements at the moment. But of course, we have had that issue for Roald Gotha's 96 Am Aston. And also, did we say that the four car was back out and circulating? I think we did.
It did go back out, but then it was given a black flag, a black and orange flag, because there was stuff dropping out of it, and the marshals did not like that.
And Nick Dierman?
Number four car is literally just leaving the pits, which is basically rising like a phoenix, just like its fellow Austrian Eurovision Song Contest winner of last year.
Only you would manage to bring the Eurovision Song Contest into this. Chance of a light spot of rain, I would say. It'll only be very, very light in the next hour, maybe 40 minutes. But certainly not any sooner than that. That big lump of weather that I've been... What's the technical term, by the way, lump of weather?
System. I've been watching. System weather. Weather systems, I think.
Big lump of system that's coming from the southwest.
Flush it out.
I think it's going to just pass to the east and south of us, but we might just feel a few little spits and spots down towards Mulsanne Corner, which is the most southerly part of the... circuit. We'll keep our eye on that, and of course you can tweet us what you're feeling out there. Is the temperature dropping? Is the wind picking up? It's at RSL_studio on Twitter.
that Aston Martin that Owen was just telling us about, having been in the pits for 37 minutes now, not quite yet out, but nearly coming out. But just to confirm what Nick was just telling us, the number four, Tiago Monteiro, is at the wheel of the CLM AER.
Question that's come in, which I don't know the answer to, but Paul will. Do the Nissans have the same tyre restrictions, 12 sets, as the rest of the LMP1 cars?
Yes. At least I think they do. There is a line in the regulations which allows more tyres for new manufacturers. But I think it's referring to new tyre manufacturers, not to new
car manufacturers. Okay. Seems reasonable. They are front-wheel drive, of course, so they have different requirements, but they have got very different tyres on the rear to the front. It means they can't move them around. But then again, nowadays, the tyres are specifically front and rear and left and right. So you, like your road cars, it's difficult to switch them backwards and forwards. It's Sheridan, John Hindhove and Paul Truswell in the Mobile One Broadcast Centre. We'll take a look at the GTE battle in just a few moments' time. Here on 91.2 FM, Sirius 93, XM 201. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for keeping us entertained with your tweets. Our studio computer has been very busy and very happy at RSL underscore studio, the new Twitter account. And thank you to GFD Computing up in Sunderland. You'll find them on the World Wide Web. Gary Dodds doing sterling work to get our studio computer back to life, and indeed it's been running the whole radio station all week, and I'm touching Formica as I say this without any issue at all. Thank you, Gary, about time you came back here, and we missed you taking your fantastic photographs. Shay, what are you looking at?
The weather and the fact that the air temperature has not changed over the last 2 hours. It's been 24 degrees Celsius flat straight through, which is about 70 roughly. For those who speak Fahrenheit, but the humidity has gone up considerably. It's gone from being just under 45%, I think, to over 55. Now it's back down to 52. So there is some weather coming, but it's not here yet. The pressure continues to drop.
That's the thing you've got to worry about.
That's what we call in Florida a hurricane warning, because when the pressure drops below about 1,000 millibars, that's when you know you're going to get a pretty decent storm.
It's only in the weather that the pressure is dropping. I think in the race, the pressure is increasing, John.
Well, I'd agree. It's like a pressure cooker out there. Somebody's just put the heaviest trivet on the top and turned up the gas to gas mark 11. And if you don't know what a trivet is, go and look that up as well. I'm showing my ears terribly here, cooking with a pressure cooker. That's just made me think of homemade
focus.
Ham and pea and ham soup with a big ham hock in there.
Focus.
Yes, I'll get back to it. I will, I promise. Right, across the line, the two Audis, 9 and 8. The 9 is in second place by just under 5 seconds now. Took around about half a second, maybe a little bit more, out of Brendan Hartley last time around. The 8, having disposed, for the moment at least, of Stefan Sarrazin and pulled out something in the region of 7-8 seconds on the Toyota, sits quite comfortably in 7th position, but wasn't able to get its lap back after the leader pitted, and it had done on the last cycle, Paul.
That's right, and has a lap less of fuel on board than the number 9 has. So I think Lucas Degrassi at the wheel of the number 8 Audi, in not at the end of the lap that he's on, but the end of the next one, and then Felipe Albuquerque will be coming in at the end of the one after that, if you follow me through. Those are the next pit stops as far as the P1 leaders are concerned, although Nick Heidfeld with the number 12 will be due in reasonably shortly out of the LMP1 privateers class.
Marco Seifried getting his first taste of Le Mans. The rookie goes out for his first laps. Patrick Dempsey having brought the 77 in. That'll be a car to watch.
Yeah, Marco, a very interesting young man. He's making the... It's his first time here, isn't it, at Le Mans?
It is.
And that's always going to be a little bit intimidating. Patrick Dempsey down in the Spider Proton Dempsey pit. And hello to Lance and the rest of the guys from Spider. And we'll be making an announcement of some little bits and pieces that you might be able to wear and look like the team. Radio Le Mans coming up. I'm just waiting for Eve to give me the go-ahead on that one, but I know Lance has been working hard on that. Let's go down to Nick Damon, who has gone into the Proton Dempsey pit, and we'll see if we can get him to say something other than exterminate, exterminate. Nick? Nope, that's not working at all. It's as soon as you... Let's grab Patrick Dempsey and pull him to the edge of the garage and give it a go. Go ahead, Nick.
With Patrick Dempsey. Patrick, pull the car in fifth.
Yeah, not too bad. Just a lap. I caught out with a safety car. I don't know if that hurt or just doing any major mistakes. And a good first double, and we'll see where we go. We got a long way to go.
Sorry about that. Unfortunately, the amount of radio frequency that's down in the pit lane, we're on our right frequency, but we can't make everybody else stay on theirs and do what they're supposed to be doing.
Don't worry, Nick has not turned into a robot. That is not his new secret way. He is, in still fact, inappropriate Uncle Nick.
Ludo Bardi comes in from second place in P2 in the 46. Also coming in, Dom Kraham has just put in the fastest lap for the 13 Rebellion. And he was fairly hammering along earlier on. He comes into the pit lane as well. The Tirier car, though, just slightly further up the pit lane. Bardi will jump out of the grey, black and red 46 coupe at the head of the field. Brendan Hartley, 21-4, and has pulled out a couple of seconds on Felipe Albuquerque that time around. Such is the ebb and flow of sports car racing. Back to Aston Martin World, and our Nismo pit lane reporter is down that end of the pit, at least, is Owen Mildenhall.
Yeah, John, and a massive round of applause for the AMR guys, because the number 96 Aston Martin is just about to leave the pits now, and less of the noise of it leaving.
Thanks, Owen. So the GTE, let's have a rundown. It's just on 10-2, Shea, so if you can do a quick GTE update in Pro and Am, please, that would be superb.
Sure thing. The Corvette of Tommy Milner, the number 64, continues to lead in GT Pro. He has about a 5.5-second gap over Fernando Reis in the number 99 Aston Martin, whose teammate Darren Turner in the 97 continues to follow behind him. 12 seconds between Darren and Tommy, so a long way to get back to that great battle we saw earlier between the Corvette and the 97 Aston Martin. Olivier Beretta behind him and Michael Christensen round out the top five, so that's the 64, 99, 97, 71, and 91 for GTE Pro. In AM, we have a bit of a different story going on. It is the 98 Aston Martin, which has found its way back to the lead. Matthias Lauda leading there from Alexei Bassoff. That was a result of a pit stop that the 72 made, although I believe the 98 has now been in as well, because I don't remember seeing Matthias's name on there earlier on. Ben Keating continuing to pedal around in the 53 SRT Viper Riley Technologies entry. And Roy Aguas in the number 83 Ferrari is behind him, with Townsend Bell in the 62. The All-American lineup Ferrari is currently he's being shown as a lap behind because he hasn't yet passed the start-finish line, whereas the leader in class has. So Townsend a little bit way back from the lead battle, but it looks like Matthias and Alexei are having fun out there.
Another pit stop for Porsche number 18, and Romain Dumas has climbed, I didn't think he was racing here this weekend, has climbed aboard that car. That definitely seems short to me, Paul Truswell.
Yes, spot on. So that car coming in after just six laps in the number...
Just to assure everyone, particularly Romain, that I am watching the same race as he's competing in.
The number 18 car. So this is the car that Neil Jarny actually started. But Mark Leib, having done 13 laps in his first stint, coming in for just six. So a mad stab in the dark would suggest that perhaps that car has had a puncture as well, and so they've come in to change the wheels and send him on his way again. The stop itself was just a minute and 5 seconds, which is all it takes on a Porsche to partially refuel and change the tyres. It's faster than a normal full service because, of course, you haven't got to put as much fuel into it.
I'm going to risk Nick Damon's pack again down there at the moment. Nick is persevering and has now wrapped some tinfoil over his head to see where he... There you go, it's worked perfectly.
I'm literally just standing right here in the middle of Porsche Point 18. I believe that's the only place I can be. Mark Lee popped out of the car with a major limp like a scalded cat. I think he might be unwell.
Well, what it could be, and we were hearing earlier on about brake pressure, Nick, and how hard it is to push the brake. Johnny Morland was talking about this, particularly with the way you are feet up ahead of yourself. And I just wonder if he's got a bit of cramp there. He might have just got underhydrated, Shea, before he got in the car. A little bit of cramp, six laps. And you just, there's just no way that you can drive these cars if you are uncomfortable.
No, and you can't be required to do that, especially... When these guys come into the pits, they're handed drink bottles that have these weird purple things on them, and they just wolf them down. I wonder what's in there. It's got to be something good. But not good is the number one, where there is a plastic headlight cover left off. Who's behind the wheel of that right now? It is Ant Davidson.
He's had contact here. It's the right-hand side. Zone 31 is the end of the Porsche curves, I think, Paul. Again, this is from memory, and... There's been something that's hit the front of the right front of that that Toyota as the leader goes to the right-hand side of Anthony Davidson and puts him another lap back. This is the sixth place car, and or puts him off the lead lap, excuse me, on the Mulsanne straight. But there's damage to the right front corner of that car. They've lost the plastic headlamp, but it's much more than that, Shea. There's definitely been contact. The dive planes down at the bottom there, and also almost looks like there's something stuck in the louvres, or where the louvres would be above the wheel.
It's strange contact though. I mean, that's not barrier contact.
No.
That's some kind of contact with the rear the diffuser or something of another car, I think, rather than a barrier contact that Anthony's hit there.
Meantime, we have got the Alpine in the pit lane. Nelson Panciatici brought it in. Sorry, that's the SMP racing car.
37.
That's because the Alpine has just gone back out again. Let's go down to the pit lane, and Mitch Evans is standing by.
So you had your car had a slight delay earlier on in the race, but you've had a really strong stint. How did that stint go for you?
It wasn't too bad. It was quite tricky, to be honest. We lost communication back to the pit, so there's something technically wrong with the radio, which was making life quite difficult. Traffic, it's a bit of a gamble, obviously. But at least we get ourselves back into contention half, you know. But it's quite difficult, but hopefully we can just keep pushing on and get ourselves back towards the front.
And how are you finding dealing with the GT traffic? Obviously, that's the biggest difference from what you're used to in GP2. I know you did Spa, but how are you finding that here at Le Mans?
Yeah, it's been really tough, actually. Actually, the Nissans are the worst to try and get past. They're the slowest in the corners, but they get you back on the straight, so it's really frustrating with them. The GT cars, it's just where you get them, really. But yeah, it's a bit of an art to try and lose the least amount of time as possible. But yeah, it's not easy out there, but... Hopefully we can pull back and Simon can do a good stint and pull us back a bit further on.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mitch. Good luck the rest of the race.
Yeah, good stuff. Owen Mildenhall, first timer on Mobile One Radio Le Mans down in the Nismo pit lane team. Thanks for his hard work so far. KCMG are having a great race. Nico Lapierre continues to lead P2 share and in 10th position. You've got to now really have something close to a flawless race, even in P2, if you're going to win this race.
You have to have a flawless race if you want to finish in the top five at this point. 19 cars in that category. And we said on the preview shows that 11 could realistically win. So if you have maybe a flat tire and you have to come in, or you have a puncture, I suppose, as you would call it, at some point during the race, well, then you're likely not going to be in the top five. And how demoralizing is that to happen at the beginning? But, as Joda said earlier in the race, they had issues last year as well and managed to claw back. They had issues this year. They've been working hard at clawing back so far. But they have a long way to go to get back to the front. 23rd overall right now.
Let's try Nick Daban again and see. He's made his way down to Toyota after we've been reporting this damage on the right front of Anthony Davidson's number one car. Just before the hour mark, let's see if we can get back to Nick. Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, perfect.
I'm not moving. Right. I'm just watching. No, they're about to have a full service stop for Adam Davis, a new set of tyres out there. They had got the jolly chance as well, but I assume they're going to wait and see how bad the damage is. I think it is more likely than not that will happen. Kazuki Nakajima is ready to take over, so they're going to do a full change. I don't know how out of sequence that is, a few laps, I think. Initially, there doesn't appear to be a nose plate around, so either by the end, they're not sure how bad it is.
Nick Dearman down in the pit lane here in France, Central European time. It's 8 o'clock in the evening.
RadioLeMans.com. Midweek Motorsport. Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
News and analysis.
Speculation and debate.
Special guests and our resident experts discussing the whole gamut of motorsport.
Formula One, sports cars, touring cars, rallying and bikes. If it has wheels and an engine and they keep score, it's on Midweek Motorsport. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on RadioLeMans.com.
Just taking a little breather there for a moment as it's been fast and furious. And we're just looking at the clock now and seeing it's 2 minutes past 8 o'clock in the evening. John Hindhoff, Shea Adam, Paul Truswell in the Mobile One Broadcast Centre leading the race. Brendan Hartley has completed 76 laps and he's got 45 seconds on Ben Treluer in second, and that's because Felipe Albuquerque came into the pits, did fuel only, and is already back out again. That was his sixth pit stop. The question's going to be what will happen in a few laps time when Hartley comes into the pit lane. That will be the longest stop for the Porsche, Paul, won't it?
Yes, for the Porsche it will be. I've not been picky, but it was the sixth stop for the Audi number 9. It was only the second stop for Felipe Albuquerque. So he's off on his triple, the third element of a triple. Will probably be a quadruple stint in the end.
Let's head down to Nick Dearman, because Anthony Davison and his damaged right front fender are in the pit lane.
Yeah, he's come in the car, he's stalked out of the machine. This car's going straight to the garage after being fueled. But it's damaged on both sides. It's got a big crunch on the front right, but it's scraped down the edge. He had side-to-side contact as well on the left-hand side. So Ant's been monstering that, but whether it's a good effect is hard to tell. And but the damage looks relatively superficial, but obviously it's had to go into the garage and had to take the nose off and get a new one. Just 8 laps of that sim rather than 13 or 40 he'd been hoping to. Anthony's walking over to the to this side, but unfortunately he's left his hat on, which makes it more difficult. But I was obviously trying to cost him as soon as possible, though he may be hatted up to avoid me. And he's done a bit of damage to that, but it looks like a strange one, because the impact looks to be slightly above the top of the light, at the really very high point of the light on the right-hand side, as the CLM number 4 car comes past me, smoking, well, like Winston Churchill.
Okay, thank you. If Toyota were going to be a factor share, they can't afford these kinds of incidents, and exactly what Anthony Davison didn't need.
If the P2 class needs to run a flawless race, just finish in the top 5, in order to get on the P1 podium, you need to have no mistakes. And this is part of the fault that, Paul, you and I have discussed before. Why do you not put 3 bullets in the gun? Why do you not bring 3 cars? Because if something like this happens and one of them gets taken out, you are down to 1, and anything can happen.
You're absolutely right. I think the answer for Toyota comes down quite simply to money. There just isn't enough finances in the pot to run 3 cars, and they would rather run 2 cars properly and take the risk of only having the 2 bullets in the gun rather than having all the 3 that both Porsche and Audi have.
A little bit of that Winston Churchill smoke is in the CLM garage, but we'll go back down to Nick Dearman, who stayed at Toyota, because Anthony Davison did take his helmet off, and now we can find out what the cause of the problem was, Nick.
Anthony, car came back looking a bit second-hand. What happened?
Well, two things happened. First of all, I was pushing hard, and in the Porsche curves, just got my timing wrong, put my hands up, made a mistake. Tagged a Ferrari, just timed it wrong, trying to carry momentum, and it damaged the front right bodywork, and it affected the balance. I was in two minds about coming in and changing it, but should have done in hindsight, because it made the balance too hard to drive, and still trying to carry on and not lose too much time. I ran wide on the turn six, just understeered, and the balance wasn't the same, and just touched the grass, and ended up hit, just kissing the wall, kissing the barrier, and yeah, just disappointed myself, but that's racing.
I mean, it's interesting, there's a lot of cars having problems, the 41 cars just gone off of the Forest S's ground to a halt. How frustrating are you finding it, pushing as hard as you are, but still drifting back from the leaders?
I'm not even thinking about the leaders. Just trying to do my own race, and just trying to open the gap up to the car behind, and didn't want the number 8 Audi to carry on closing at the rate they were. Yeah, just pushing too hard, that's all it was.
Thanks, Dad.
Well done, Nick. Excellent stuff. That car is receiving attention. The smoke has cleared in the CLM pit, and their mechanics will go to work. That looked to be coming from the right rear of that car. It's more than just the front end of that Toyota, in fairness, here, that's getting some attention.
A lot of work happening in the back, especially the back left of that car. Interesting for what Ant said, and more so the tone of his voice, how dejected he was.
Sounds very down.
It's not been a kind track to Ant Davidson in the past, and looks like it's striking again this year, unfortunately. But as he said, the best he could do is put a gap on the guys behind him. That is the approach from Toyota this year, which, in fairness, is a smart one. You just worry about doing as best you can to keep the people behind you, and go about it and hope that the people in front of you fall off.
The wind direction has changed completely. I know that for two reasons. One, because there's a little icon on the screen in front of me. The other one is that our back door has now been blowing open a couple of times in the air part of our studio, in the alpha part of the studio, which is where our broadcast part of the Mobile One Broadcast Centre is. That is actually not the worst news if that is being replicated in the higher atmospheres, because it is pushing away the weather that has been creeping up on us over the last 2 hours or so. That's still around the Tours area at the moment, and I think that's just going to skirt off and head up towards Orléans instead of coming to us. Let's go down to the innovation station where Owen Mildenhall can give us a Nitro GT RLM update.
So,
or maybe he can't. Well, I think one of the cars went into the garage a little while ago. We will try and get Owen back at that end of the pit lane. Let's give it another go. Go ahead, Owen.
Hi, John. Just to say that the 22 Nissan was in the pit garage with a very, very hot front brake disc being changed. So obviously, with the car not harvesting from energy at the rear, I think the front brakes are doing a lot of work in the Nissan. And they, in fact, were so hot that they burnt a hole in the floor when they took the disc off. So that car's now got new front discs. It's back out with new tyres and Harry Ticknell at the wheel.
So I expect to see that one making decent progress. Nick Damon is further down the pit lane.
Yeah, with the 71 Ferrari, the pro car, the Regon Collado Amberetta machine, and that came in for what looked like a reasonably standard stop. Then it was wheeled in. They've wheeled it in. All they seem to have done since they've wheeled it in is pull off all the various tear-off strips to make all the lights of the wintering clear again. And now it's coming back out again. So whether they thought there was a problem that's not materialised, I've no idea. But off they go. Tony Milando looking on, but that's not your car, Tony. Your car's 51, which obviously during the lap.
Well, a car that's not going anywhere anytime fast is the 41 Greaves. We were given information that there was a slow zone in Zone 4, which is just after the Dunlop curve. But the 41 driver has been instructed to stay in the car, and they will recover it with a minute. That driver would be Gary Hirsch, who's been behind the wheel not a terribly great length of time, I don't think, Paul.
Gary, no, I think he got in last pit stop, did he?
No, he's actually that. He was in the middle of a triple stint.
Oh, right.
Really?
Of the third element of the triple stint. The car was started by John Lancaster, who did a quadruple. He had been in the car for a stint of 13 laps, which was affected by the yellow flag, the safety car earlier on, then 11, and then he was on his sixth when it ground to a halt. So Gary has been in the car for a reasonable length of time before the car just ground to a halt on him, didn't it? It didn't seem to be an accident damage, more mechanical.
No. Came over the top of the hill under the Dunlop Bridge, and the car seemed to lose power, and the marshals have gone out. They were going to get him out there with a Stach tractor, but the marshals have gone out and done it with Marshall power. And my hat's off to all of the men and women in orange and or white here this weekend, who are once again doing a cracking job. That yellow flag still out there at the moment whilst they are pushing Gary's car to a place of safety. But I've got to say, and I'm very sad to have to say this, that looks like to me, Shay, the 41 car's challenge, and a fine challenge it had been at that point, may well be gone right now.
Well, they were a pre-race favorite before anything even got started, then proved how quickly they were able to go. I'm sad to not see Gaëtan Paletot get behind the wheel of the car 10 months ago, sitting on his couch playing video games. This was going to be his race debut in his home country of France, and as Paul said, hasn't been in the car yet. Doesn't look good for him.
Nick Damon has more from the pit lane. This time it's GT.
Yeah, the 51 car came in. It had a full service. Out got Giancarlo Fisichella, in got Tony Vallander, tyres, fuel, and off it went. And I just wanted to check where it was at the GT Pro field, and it was a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. So currently being outclassed by the other cars, but they have stealthily got the front of the pass, as many as they won't stealthily get the back to the front again.
It's a fair point, well made and nicely presented. Just on 10 past, so we'll have a look at the LMP2 field, and a good time to do that with the demise at the moment at least of the 41 car. It's still Nico Lapierre. Has he been in since the start, Nico Lapierre, in that 47
no.
KCNJ car?
Richard Bradley started that car.
Oh, okay, right, okay. I was going to say, it's just every time I've looked up, he's been there.
He has been in, this is a triple stint that
right.
He's completing, John.
That he has a fantastic lead at the moment, almost a full lap of the 47 on the 46 Thierrier car, and it's Pierre Thierrier who is behind the wheel of the 46 Orica in second place. Karan Chanduk, the 48, up into third position. It's an ill wind, etc., etc. Complete well-known phrase or saying. So the Murphy prototypes, who had their own problems in qualifying, Shea, with a car that wasn't as it should have been.
No, Mark Patterson had a bit of an off, I'll be generous, and the crew did a brilliant job to rebuild the car so that it was actually able to go back out during qualifying. When was that? That was Thursday already. Oh my goodness. But we just saw in front of our booth, Karan brought the car in front of us. Not sure if he'll be staying in or not. Maybe one of the boys is down that end of the pit.
In fourth position, Nelson Pancicici, the Alpine, the 36 car. Julian Canal, the Ligier 26. First, the G-Drive cars. These are the cars who have been absolutely dominating the early part of the FIAWEC season. Not showing quite so well here. That's your update in LMP2. Let's go down to the pit lane. First to Owen Mildenhall with Danny Watts at Straka.
So, Danny, it was a very happy-looking garage when you came in then. So I presume the car's running well after your damage earlier on in the race.
I'm not sure what the pace is like relative to others in class, but that was as hard as what I could push, and the car didn't feel too bad. Felt like I could lean on it. The biggest thing was the circuit evolution. It's really gripping up quite quickly, so you could attack the corners a lot more, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, there's some crazy driving out there at times, but it's all good fun, and enjoyed it, really got into it.
Fantastic. And you think the circuit's gripping up because the temperature's coming down, or is it just rubbering up, or a combination of both?
Mainly the rubber's going down, and you can see that on the tarmac on the racing line. But also with the temperatures starting to drop a little bit now, that always helps engines.
Brilliant. Thanks, Danny, and good luck for the rest of the race.
Thank you.
The number two Toyota came in to the standard stop, so none of the dramas Anthony Davison has for the sister had in the sister car. And we've just seen the leader of P2, the KCMG 47 car, come in for a stop. And I believe, though it was a long way away and walking out, that Nico Lapierre stayed on board.
Nismo. Nismo. Eat. Eat. Sleep. Race. Repeat.
Yeah, Nicolas Lapierre has been at the wheel for practically 3 hours. And you're absolutely right, Nick, he did stay behind the wheel. So Nicolas Lapierre, 3 hours currently behind the wheel, and he'll be heading off probably for another 40 minutes is the maximum, or is the amount that he'll be able to do before the car has to come in again for fuel anyway. But you have to feel a little bit sorry for Matt Howson, who hasn't yet had a go. I think it was when Johnny Molan was here earlier on, he was saying that with some of these long driving stints that you get these days, it can be quite difficult to keep your motivation up when you know, you don't actually get into the car until about a quarter of the way through the race.
Oh, as we see, the number one was getting ready to go back out onto the track in a bit of a moment there with the 50 Larbor Competition Corvette in the pit box ahead of him. The one tried to get back out before the fuel man had actually gotten the pump in, and there was that brief moment of, do I go, do you go? They yielded to the Toyota wisely, Paul.
It meant that it was a slightly longer pit stop still. Kaz Nakajima is now back at the wheel of the number one. We saw Anthony Davidson getting out. Sebastian Buemi it was who started the number one Toyota. So Nakajima now back out. Nearly 14 minutes lost on that pit stop, though, for the number one Toyota. And that converts to what about four laps, so really pushing that car well down out of contention. But they'll keep plugging on. They're a plucky lot, and there will be lessons to be learned. I mean, there's always data to be gathered. It's going to be hard work for them from now on, though.
Bit of oil dry that Kaz drove through as he was coming through Dunlop. Have to wonder if that somehow contributed to the Greaves car coming to a grinding halt. If they felt the need to lay down the oil dry, yeah, and that's what Joe Bradley would call a clue.
Very good. CSI Fort Lauderdale stepping in there around the first chicane with Kaz Nakajima. Very close to, in fact, no, he did run into the refueler from the Larbor Competitions team who had stepped back and had been there for quite some time. Sure why Kaz didn't really see him there. A little bit of six and one, half a dozen of the other in terms of whose fault that was. That might get a slap on the wrist for Kaz Nakajima on the way out. The man that we didn't think was going to be here after he fractured a vertebrae at Spa in very, very difficult conditions in free practice when he ran into the back of Ollie Jarvis. And literally, his vertebrae has been glued back together.
Indeed, should ever such a fate befall me, then rather than being told to take 6 months off work, I shall tell the doctor, no, I know it can be done. I need to get back to work quickly, possibly. Ben Trelawney is on his 13th lap of this stint. It's a triple stint that he's been on at the moment, so we'll see whether or not at the end of this lap Ben Trelawney comes into the pits, and then when he does so, whether he keeps the same set of tyres. I'm sure he will, but we'll see.
A couple of pieces of information. Let's go down into the pit lane and to Murphy in just a second. Tim Greaves has told us the battery has gone flat on the 41. Owens is with Karun Chandhok.
Karun, is a really good stint. You're just fringing on the edges of the top three now in LMP2. How was that stint for you?
Yeah, it was good. No dramas. The only thing is my drinks bottle spilled all over me, so I'm a bit damp. But it was a pretty low stress stint, to be honest. The 05 Oricas are too quick for us. You know, in a straight fight on speed, there's no way we're going to beat either KCMG or TDS. So we have to play the long game. We're running similar pace to Alpine, slightly out of sync with the safety cars. So on strategy, we're slightly out of sync. We'll have to see how that plays out at 3 p.m. tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be a few more anomalies. But pretty low stress, which is what you want for Le Mans, I think, at the moment. No dramas.
Fantastic. And it's good to see you having a trouble-free run, and good luck for the rest of the race.
Thank you very much.
Always great to hear from Karun Chandhok, who not only is a very, very rapid racing driver, but he knows his stuff as well. We've got slow zones in Porsche again, 31 and 32, and it's affecting at the moment Ben Trelawney, who is up into second position. He's just at a 3:18.497. That's the fastest lap for that car. He won't improve that this time around, clearly.
as the Audi spins back up again.
Although, interestingly, in sector one on that previous lap, Brendan Hartley did his fastest lap for the car on that lap. And in sector two, Ben Trelawney did his fastest lap in sector two. So suggest what you were saying a moment ago, John, about the weather improving, it's getting cooler, and that improving lap times.
And in fact, comes straight into the pit lane at the end of his stint. This is the number seven car. He'll give up second position, and the nine and eight are running together. The nine being Felipe Albuquerque in now second place, and the eight being Luca de Grassi, a lap off the lead lap, in sixth position at the moment. Let's go down to the Audi pit.
Yep, so we've got a stop for the number seven car. Marcel Fassler getting into the car with fuel going into the car at the moment. And looks like a routine stop, but definitely about to do a driver change.
So that is only a triple stint for Ben Trelawney. Paul Truswell says in my ear, the diesel fuel, 51 now. Did he get in there or not? Let's go back down to Owen. Did Fessler actually get in there, or was he just on standby?
No, he didn't get in, John. He sort of looked like he was going to. He was warming up, but then he's gone back into the garage. So it's just fuel, not tyres, and he's back out again.
So Ben Trelawney, who could probably do three quarters of the race on his own if he really needed to. We talk about this, and you particularly, Paul, talk about Ironman stints, or stints that change the fortune of a team or a car. And quite often, we're talking about the length of stint as much as we are about the speed and the consistency of the stint. And that's where Ben Trelawney really comes into his own.
It's all of the above, isn't it? And what's particularly pleasing somehow for me, having got to know Ben a tiny little bit, is how much he's come on. It wasn't that so very long ago when the famous 13.854 second result came in, it was Marcel Fessler was actually rested out of the car then, and Ben Trelawney and Andre Lotterer carried most of the driving. But Benoit, he's hugely emotional about his racing. He's a very French influence on a German team, but he fits in so very well. I think he does a great job. And as I say, he's out now on the fourth part of this stint. In terms of his driving time, having told you how long Nicolas Lapierre was out there, I can tell you that Ben Trelawney has now been driving for 2 hours and 55 minutes. And as I say, so he's not allowed to drive more than 4 hours in one go, but 2 hours and 55 done so far, and he's on part of a quadruple stint now.
The Larbra competition team manager being called up to the principal's office immediately. That would be in regards to the pit stop gone wrong, I would imagine, with the number one Toyota and the refueling man.
Sure, what the refueler was meant to do, he's refueled. He's not supposed to run back around the car until the car's disappeared. So he stepped back and he's standing there, and he's been standing there for a little while. The 50 hasn't left. And he didn't step in front of Nakajima.
But he can't call Nakajima up into the office to see him because Nakajima's out in the race. So he may just be being sensible about who's the... let's get both sides of the story, but let's get the man I've got at the moment.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. Nick Dillon.
Yeah, the number 17, the Sunderland Porsche has just come in. It's been an absolute full service.
Leader.
Tyres on, leader of the race, of course. Out has hopped New Zealand's Brendan Hartley. In has hopped Australia's Mark Webber for an Antipodean joy run race thing. The final tyre going on now.
You hadn't thought that out, Damon, had you?
I got the first two thirds, and the last bit failed miserably.
But it's just talking, remember. It's easy to do. Thank you, Nick. Mark Webber for the first time in the race after a triple by Brendan Hartley.
And because Ryan Briscoe not started the race today, Mark is the only Australian in the field.
Good point, yeah.
As Miss Jax would be very, very happy to remind you.
Yeah, how many New Zealanders, though? That seems to
four.
Be four New Zealanders in the field today, one Australian.
Over the course of that stint, though, and this is not against Brendan Hartley, I suspect as much as anything else, it's because of the way that the safety car and the various slow zones have panned out. Felipe Albuquerque in the number nine Audi has closed in upon the number 17 Porsche. So the gap has come down, although, as I say, there's been other reasons for that as well, because we've had the safety car during the period of Brendan Hartley's run, because that was, as we've been saying, a good long run from Brendan, a good triple stint.
And somehow managed to get his windscreen clear of oil, because he was losing 5 seconds a lap at one stage, yeah. And he put a stop to that fairly quickly, in fairness.
Maybe he reached his arm out the window and just sort of ripped off a tear off by himself.
I used to have a car where you could pretty much do that. He had a pit stop, obviously, to remove part of that, but he did pretty well. There was a point where he hadn't stopped, and he did pick his pace up rather nicely.
Townsend Bell just being reminded to respect the blue flags from the marshals. So that's his first warning. Townsend, a rookie to this race, but has participated in other grandiose events such as the Indy 500, which he was doing only a few weeks ago. A lucky, lucky man to get to be in both of those.
Just a reminder that Kaz Nakajima is back out on the circuit. That was the car that Anthony Davison had that damage with, a very honest description of what had happened from Ant when he got out of the car to Nick. Just coming up to the half hour again, we'll take our update in 2 or 3 minutes. Shea Adam, Paul Truswell, John Hindhoff in the Mobile One Broadcast Centre. It's Nick Damon and Owen Mildenhall, our Nismo Pit Lane team at the moment.
We almost have a GT car on the first page of scoring. Tommy Milner now showing in the 23rd position overall, and 22nd is the end of our scoring page of page one. And Tommy, deciding to listen to our radio, has pulled into the pits.
Let's go down to Nick Damon.
Yeah, the 64 car just spun past me. Tommy Milner has hopped out and in has got, I'm assuming, is Ollie Gavin back round again already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, they are ripping through this rotation in their GT. It's a little bit of a quicker rotation in GT, of course, than in the 3.5 hours ago in MP1.
I meant to give you some duff information there, Nick. I think it should be Jordan Taylor, who hasn't been in the car yet. I thought I'd seen his name against it earlier on, but I'm probably thinking back to warm-up this morning when they all went through the car. And Owen Mildenhall on the talkback says to me it is definitely Jordan Taylor who has jumped in.
Hello to his brother Ricky, who's watching back at home and listening to the race with Jordan's dog so that he may also see his father racing.
Oh dear.
It is a very cute dog. Fonzie is his name. And if you haven't already seen him on Twitter, it's worth a look.
Jim Campbell, the US Vice President of Performance Vehicles and Motorsports, was in here earlier on, the man at the head of GM's competition department, if you want, and seemed to say that we might see a Corvette in the FIA WEC race at Cota. He said those opportunities are the ones that we take, aren't they?
And he
mentioned Cota by name.
They are. They did it last year. The race did not go according to plan last year because of some confusion between the team and race control during the red flag period when all that massive downpour of rain came out of nowhere. But they had an interesting lineup that race because it was Jordan Taylor, Tommy Milner, and Ricky Taylor. And I would be surprised for them not to do that again because they were competitive there. And they do want to prove that they belong, especially with the other major American manufacturer coming back into this market and the global market as well. That's something that they would be hungry to prove, that they can compete and they can win.
And Felipe Albuquerque goes through and is scored as the leader. 20.540 lead ahead of Mark Webber, who has just jumped into the 17, the red and white Porsche, almost the Salzburg type Porsche, and that's another change of lead,
and
Paul.
Yeah, it's the first time that we've actually got that car into the lead.
We didn't quite make it last time, did we?
We kind of talked it in a couple of times, but it didn't actually happen in the end. But it's the first time it's actually led across the line. So Felipe Albuquerque currently on lap 9 out of what should be a 13-lap stint. So 4 laps more to do. Four at the end of the one that he's on now. And so he'll lead for that length of time with the number 17 Porsche, interestingly, now with Mark Webber at the wheel of it, according to the screen, has got back ahead of the number seven. But I think when they come... No, he is ahead of the number seven, isn't he? So, check that one back. But I think with Mark Webber there in second place, Ben Trelluway back in third place, a further 20 seconds behind the Porsche. So, Audi, Porsche, Audi, Porsche, Porsche, Audi, Toyota is the top seven.
If you heard a sharp intake of breath there, that was Audi's 9 and 8 coming through traffic at the end of the Porsche curves and through Corvette curve. Now in front of us, down through the gearbox, dab of the brakes, turn in, put your foot down, explode out of the Ford chicane, and that is the 85th lap completed for Felipe Albuquerque. He leads, and we wait for Mark Webber to come through in second place, and we'll see what the gap is between the 9 and the 17 on distinctively different fuel stop schedules, of course, after the safety car interventions, two we've had so far in the race. But this has been a decent run with only a couple of yellow flags or slow zones to disrupt it. It's 21 seconds between first and second. Let's have a look at the rest of the positions as it's half past and time for our updates.